what we see in these examples is how different the boys' and girls' way of negotiating this conflict is. In both cases, the child who started out with the toy, whatever it is they're fighting over, ends up losing it to another child. But for the boys, it was just a very brief physical struggle, and one won and the other lost. Among the girls, it's a very complex verbal struggle in which each one tries to keep what they want, give the other something of what they want, have the appearance of giving them something what they want, but still mostly end up with what they want. And really, really interesting, the way that the girls punish each other is exclusion. You can't come to my birthday. I'm going to give an example now of two fights. One took place between boys, the other between girls, that were recorded by Amy Sheldon. She's a linguist at the University of Minnesota who observed kids in a daycare center in order to compare how the boys and the girls played. In these two examples, both the boys and the girls were playing in the same play corner. It was a house, and they were fighting over the same object, a plastic pickle. What Sheldon found was that the girls used very complex patterns of compromise in order to avoid getting into a head-to-head battle. So a little girl named Sue wanted the pickle that Mary had, and she argued that Mary should give it up because Lisa, the third girl, wanted it. So again, this is very typical of girls, that she argues not that she wanted it, but that the third girl wanted it. She wants it for someone else. But this led to a conflict about how to satisfy Lisa's invented need. Mary proposed a compromise, and Sue protested. Here's how it went. Mary said, "I cut it in half. One for Lisa, one for me, one for me." And Sue said, "But Lisa wants a whole pickle." Well, Mary came up with a very creative compromise. She said, "Well, it's a whole half pickle." Sue didn't accept that. She said, "No, it isn't." Mary said, "Yes, it is, a whole half pickle." Sue said, "I'll give her a whole half. I'll give her a whole whole. I gave her a whole one." At that point, Lisa just withdrew from the alliance with Sue, who satisfied herself by saying, "I'm pretending I gave you one." So the girls were very creative in avoiding a head-to-head battle. Now is the conversation that took place among three boys who were playing in the same corner. The boys also got into a fight about the same plastic pickle. When Nick saw that Kevin had the pickle, he demanded it for himself. Nick was screaming, "Kevin, but the, oh, I have to cut. I want to cut it. It's mine." Just like Sue, and this is very interesting to me, Nick involved a third child in his effort to get the pickle. This is what he said. He was whining to Joe, "Kevin isn't letting me cut the pickle." Joe said, "Oh, I know. I can pull it away from him and give it back to you. That's an idea." So the little boys also are forming an alliance, two against one, but Joe says he's going to grab the pickle and give it to Nick, who wants it. But Sue was arguing that she was going to get the pickle for Lisa. The boys' conflict lasted about 2.5 times longer than the girls', and it ended up being a physical battle for the pickle. Since I was a girl and not a boy, I found myself wondering why the boys play this way. What is the logic behind it? What's the fun of it? Here again, the field notes that my students submitted when they went and observed their own interactions as well as others' interactions and wrote them up as class assignments helped me to understand the other sex. I want to read an excerpt from a field note description that was written by a student, Anthony Marchesa, describing an evening that he spent with two boys and another girl. These are college students. They were playing a game called Jenga, which seems to be a game of blocks, and Anthony describes the scene with himself and two friends. "We played about 3 or 4 games, and then we started building things with the blocks. It was really fun because we felt like little kids again.